Although we are pumping money and financial support in the South Vietnamese are our allies in a war, which we morally support.
Right.
We do not condone treatment of prisoners like this, but we have no control over it. That there is a distinction between these prisoners as being political prisoners and prisoners of war. That there are no prisoners of war being treated like this. These are all political prisoners. Okay, what's the problem with that? Point one, it's immoral as hell. It's very similar to the German stockades of World War II with the Jewish people. You know, it's really atrocious. But aside from that, point two, we do have control over them, and we can influence a great deal of direction over them. At least in the tone of our attitude. In other words, there has not been, from the White House, a severe condemnation of this practice. They say, you know, we condone it through a spokesman. But they don't say we're going to have a full investigation, and if the facts are right, we're going to do everything within our power to encourage our allies there to not follow this practice.
Now, is this Ziegler talking at the
right,
White House?
Right.
Is this
Ziegler
on
says,
the record or off the record?
On the record. Ziegler says this is political, it does not involve war prisoners, and therefore it is part of the internal penal system of the country of South Vietnam. And another loophole, or not loophole, but another obvious problem with this. In a guerrilla warfare where you have people running around in civvies in downtown Saigon on the back of scooters, if they're caught, they're treated as political prisoners. You know, obviously, they're not prisoners of war, but they're as much engaged in warfare of the type we're in as anyone else. So how do you draw a distinction in this war between political prisoners and prisoners of war? You know, unless they're wearing nice, crisp North Vietnamese suits, apparently they're tossed into these dungeons. Point two, the North Vietnamese consider United States airmen who are shot down over there as political prisoners. It opens the way for either retaliation or to justify poor treatment for them under the same type.
What are you getting out of Saigon on it, Tom? What's the bureau coming up with over there? Have they talked with this guy Luce or any of those people who supposedly were in there? What have you had out of there?
Everyone is very tense over there. The officials, they've been told to zip up. They have an ambassador there who is saying that they don't like it, but in sort of mild terms, there's not a lot they can do about it. But
is that Bunker you talk about?
No, not Bunker. Who the hell? Hold on just a moment. A fellow named Frank Walton.
Oh, the aid official? Is he the aid official or the civilian?
Roy W. Johnson of the Embassy Information Staff reads this statement. This is all they're saying.
Yeah.
The United States mission is aware of shortcomings in the corrections program here in Vietnam. Our advisory effort and assistance are designed to help the Vietnamese government to the extent possible. We can improve their system as rapidly and completely as possible. Of course, the statement concludes, the control of the system rests with the Ministry of Interior of the Vietnamese government. Specifically, there are no American public safety advisors stationed at Con Son. In other words, they're saying that we're providing money for the government. We're providing some advice. We would like to assist them. We hope to improve it through our advice and our assistance, but we have no direct say in it.
Right. What are y'all running tonight on the air?
I don't know. I'm not sure we're running anything.
Yeah.
And another point, Sarah McClendon brought up. She's sort of a goof, but she also has a lot of valid points about her. Some wives in the Midwest, which is her basic region, are very concerned because this prison system has been uncovered, their husbands are captives.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very concerned that of the implications of this as they pertain to the captured American prisoners.
Right. Now, the one thing that we haven't been able to verify, Tom, is the fact that we are under the impression here, at least from the reports that I've seen and heard on the air, is the semantics involved with the word political prisoners. We are told or led to understand that this is the equivalent of our San Quentin or Huntsville or whatever prison
right.
it is, you know.
Right. To the South Vietnamese, these are the hardcore political characters who will not salute the flag, who will not respect the government.
That's what I'm getting at. The difference is, and from what you're just saying, is we're understanding that these are the capital offenders, like the murderers, the robbers, the people like that, not political in the sense that everybody there is a political prisoner. Now, do you have information that they are?
Everyone there is a political prisoner. There are no prisoners of war there as such.
No prisoners of war, but
right.
what about...
This unit is used primarily for political prisoners.
I know, but political as opposed
to criminal?
Yeah. We're under the impression that there are only a few political prisoners and many criminal prisoners.
I'm not sure how the balance is, Murr.
Mm-hmm.
Let me
get up and talk with Ross.
The one girl who was... who spoke English, who refused to salute the flag, who was interviewed by this congressman, said she was arrested during a demonstration in Saigon, which wouldn't indicate she was a murderer or any hardcore type criminal, but, you know, she's probably a VC.
Yeah. Tom, let me talk to Ross, and I'll get back to you. Your number is extension 222 or 211.
Right.
Back to you shortly.
Okay, thanks, Ron.
Thank you. Bye.
Train, if there is something...
Hello, Mr. Rattoran.
I will go by train to Bruxelles or to London, and I will take my plane from London.
Fine.
To Bruxelles. That's not a problem.
Okay.
You know?
Here's Mr. Martin on the phone now.
Hello, Mr. Rattoran.
Hello, Mr. Martin.
Yes, how are you, sir?
Fine, and you?
I'm fine, thank you. Are you all set?
Yes, so I told Mr. Mueller that I got my visa today.
Very good. I had arranged for you to do that. I had arranged for you to do that.
Because I remember that I knew the consul of United States in Paris, and he gave me this diplomatic visa very quickly.
Very good. Now, here is a schedule, and you tell me if it is all right with you. If it is, your ticket will be there by tomorrow. There is an Air France flight leaving Paris at 10 a.m. Saturday morning.
10 a.m. Saturday morning.
Yes, that's Air France.
Yes, fine.
That arrives in New York City at John F. Kennedy Airport at 12:15 p.m. New York time.
12:15?
Right, p.m. New York time.
New York time.
Right. Then
yes.
You will go from that terminal, the International Arrivals Terminal.
Yes.
You will go to the Braniff Air Terminal.
To what?
Braniff. That is, let me spell that for you. Braniff Airlines. I'm spelling that.
Yes.
B as in boy.
Yes.
R as in Robert.
Yes.
A as in Adam.
Yes.
N as in Nora.
Yes.
I as in idea.
Yes.
F as in Frank.
Yes.
F as in Frank. That's Braniff Airways.
Yes.
Your plane there is flight number 3. Number 3.
Yes.
Which leaves New York City at 4 p.m.
1600.
Yes. And arrives in Dallas at 6:25 p.m. or 18:25 p.m.
Well, I think that sounds good.
Very good. now.
I think that sounds good. The only problem, you know, Mr. Martin, that you heard or you read on the newspaper that they have a strike in Orly. So if I have the difficulty about this flight, I will go to London by train or to Brussels, and I will catch the plane in Brussels or London, you know?
Very good. But we are...
I'm sure that I will be... I will make it. So you are waiting for me, or...
I will meet you. I will meet you at the airport.
Yes.
And take you to your hotel, which will only be like 5 minutes from the airport.
Fine.
There is a hotel which is located near the Dallas airport, much as your Orly Hilton hotel is there in Orly.
Fine.
And I will have a reservation for you there.
Thank you.
Now,
what do I have to tell to the immigration officer about my my sponsor in the United States and what I am going to do?
Just say tourist.
Tourist?
Yes.
Okay. And so I say that I know you, that you're a friend.
To whom? To the immigration officer?
Yes.
You don't even have to do that. You can if you want to, but you don't have to.
Oh, fine. Fine.
Yeah, you don't have to even mention that.
Oh, fine.
Now, your ticket, when you get it, it will read from Paris to New York to El Paso, Texas.
Yes?
But the El Paso flight stops in Dallas, and you will get off in Dallas, and I will meet you in Dallas.
Fine.
Understand?
Yes, sure.
No.
So I am able to go and fetch the ticket in tomorrow. So
you can pick it up. You can pick it up Friday at Orly at the Air France counter.
Oh, fine.
At the Air France counter at Orly on Friday.
Well, so Mr. Martin. Yesterday night when I called you, I had a phone call from Mr. Carr.
Uh-huh.
And so I didn't say anything about our... I said only that I have spoke to you about two days ago, and we didn't come to an agreement, you know?
Very good.
And so he said that he was surprised because you delayed to call... him, or you delayed to answer him at the phone.
Very good.
Well,
that's excellent.
So I'm very glad to meet you, Mr. Martin, on Saturday at 6:25 p.m.
Right. Look forward to it, sir.
And I'm sure that we'll do a good job.
Very good. We look forward to seeing you, sir.
Yes.
If you have any...
I think it's not necessary to call you now.
Only if you have problems with your...
I will be in Dallas.
Very good. Now, if you should have problems when you get to New York...
Yes?
Call me at my home. You have my home phone number.
I have your phone number. Just a minute. I'll take it, please.
All right. This correct.
Fine.
That is correct.
Okay. So,
if you have any problems...
The Braniff Airways, is it far from Kennedy Airport?
No, it's only about 500 yards. It's at the same airport, but a different building.
Oh, fine, sure.
Same airport.
Well, so Mr. Martin, thank you for all those details, and
we look forward to seeing you.
In Dallas.
We look forward to seeing you.
Yes.
If you have any difficulties, let us hear from you. If not, I will see you at the airport on Saturday.
Okay, sir.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
out for us is to sort of condemn it and let it go at that.
Yeah.
But what we're trying to do is to get them to see it and to do the right thing.
Yeah.
But, and that's why we're having to be a little slow in our own comments, because we can make it much harder for the embassy out there.
Yeah. Well, has the South Vietnamese government responded yet at all?
They have, so far, they've limited themselves to very low-level statements by prison officials, which are rather defensive, in other words, defending the system, say it's not unusual and all that, and that's just isn't working.
What do you read into the Viet Cong's use of this at Paris today?
I'm not a bit surprised.
I'm not surprised either.
Yeah. I mean, we predicted that.
Were they particularly strong, or was it their usual line, just with a different cohesive factor?
Usual. They have, for a long time, they've been rather clever about taking advantage of openings. They have almost more flexibility than our own delegation to take advantage of news reports.
Mm-hmm.
I should think they probably have authority to use stuff like this without even checking with their headquarters.
Right. Is there any indication yet that South Vietnam may open these things up to the press and close them?
Yeah, several things are in the works, but I just don't know yet what we're going to get done and how soon.
Mm-hmm. We have tried to get through the last three evenings since the thing broke to the one man who was so helpful to us throughout all of our negotiations, and he is so very, very close to President Tu, and that is Mr. Duc. That's right, and we have been unable to get through because the lines have been down. As a matter of fact, I started to call Mr. Sieverts and see if we might be able to use the diplomatic lines in order to do what we could with Mr. Duc, but we have been unable to get through, and I figured your lines were rather busy anyhow.
Yeah, I don't know whether we can.
I didn't know what the prospect was from this side.
It's not that easy to telephone from here, as a matter of fact.
How are the papers playing it there? Are they still running with it?
Oh, very big. The editorials and
editorials.
So forth. The Congressman Goodell jumped in yesterday. Oh, they had a wonderful angle yesterday named The Steel for the Bars on Top of Tiger Cages. Was brought to Vietnam under an aid contract.
Oh, really?
And that's the kind of angle that they're...
Oh, boy. Jiminy Christmas. Is the Times, New York Times, still burying it?
One of their people called me late last night to ask the specific question, what are we doing about it, which is a difficult one for us to handle, because, as I say, if we start to describe our efforts, it'll make it that much harder to have them work. But they did not make a major story of it.
Frank, just thinking out loud, and that's all it is, we have no reason to believe it would become reality, but merely one of many, many thoughts. In trying to utilize, as this thing is the center of attention, the original four wives that went to Paris last year on the POW thing. It's been almost a year. It's been 11 months. And, you know, like nothing has happened. Two of them have had letters, but nothing else. I'm wondering if, the prospects, I'd been thinking about this anyhow, the four of them returning to Paris, same four, no more, no less, to pursue what they originally went for there last year. Along the way, surely they are going to be asked by newsmen about this situation. In other words, were they to go now?
Right.
They'd be asked about this. And if they had very carefully worded thinking to pass along to the press when asked about this, I think that it might serve two things. It might serve to diffuse as well as equate the concern, and we only wish that North Vietnam would open the gates to their prison facilities so that conclusions could be drawn as to the type of treatment being meted out there. That as long as the doors are closed, the people in this country, particularly the families and the wives, can only think and utilize the information from those who have been there, and it leaves North Vietnam in a very bad light, much worse than the South Vietnamese government finds itself in at the moment regarding its penal institutions.
Right. Well, I think that's a good idea, and I think we can certainly assist you and them with such a... I think the project is a good idea, too.
Mm-hmm. I had been thinking of it actually for around the 1st of August, but we could, you know, like move it up a bit.
Earlier or later?
Earlier, I'm thinking of.
Oh, I see no reason for that. As a matter of fact, you can figure that the next few weeks in Paris are real doldrums because Bruce isn't there yet. I think it might be better to wait till Bruce is there. And, you know, everybody goes back to the U.S. for consultations. It's not a good time. In fact, I would say do it in September because Paris is so closed down during the summer.
Right. Well, you're right there. And also, September would be exactly 1 year.
That's right. Symbolically, be sort of better. By the way, Huntley Brinkley, as I still call it, NBC last night had a little bit of film on Mrs. Connell and Mrs. Astocian, who were in Paris right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mrs. Connell is one whose husband... pictures have been released, but his name is not on the list.
That's right.
And they refuse to see them.
That's right.
Are they staying there until they see them, or are they leaving?
No, they've gone elsewhere in Europe, but they convinced the press that they're going to keep after the DRV week after week on this subject. Which is
interesting. That's good. Any hints or anything out of Stockholm that Mr. Palmy has done any more since being here?
Well, they are very, very eager to have it not publicized, but let me tell you in confidence that he has talked to the North Vietnamese directly and provided them with a new list with requests for information.
Good. That's good.
He has very carefully followed through, but he is very eager not to have any publicity.
Right. That's good.
Until and unless he gets some sort of result.
Right. Well, that's good. That's good to know.
Sure. This is a reasonably... The other interesting thing is it was recently announced that Sweden is sending a permanent chargé d'affaires to Hanoi. And we know the man. He is, in fact, quite left-wing. He's a Swedish diplomat who works closely with Palme.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Oberg, O-B-E-R-G.
Oberg.
And he will make sure... He won't leave for another month, and we'll make sure he's got the message.
That's good. That's good. Frank, anything we can help you with? No more from Bartholomew Fox?
Nothing at all, no. If he ever does enter the U.S., I'll be very eager to hear all about him.
No, I tell you, I'd like to take a weekend, a long weekend, just to hear him out.
Dick Dudman called me this morning, finally got back to that. He was ill for about the past 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Got quite a story to tell. He'll be in here next week.
That's good. Does the liaison committee have anybody in there at the present time?
No, not as far as I know.
Do you hear anything out of Schneider in Philadelphia?
No, nothing recently.
No.
Meacham is usually the best source.
Is he Philadelphia also?
Yeah, he's, as far as prisoner business, Schneider is helpful in his own way. He's a much nicer, more decent guy, but Meacham is the member of the committee of liaison, so he says.
Mm-hmm.
Got the most knowledge, I think.
Right. Frank, it's good to talk with you, and I'll be in touch.
Very good.
Take care. Bye. Murphy Martin.
Hello, Mr. Martin?
Yes.
Hi. My name is Steve Greenfield.
Yes, Mr. Greenfield.
And I just saw Mr. The display which United We Stand put on in the Capitol Rotunda about prisoners of war.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really impressed with it. I'm an undergraduate student at Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's about time that something like this was brought out. And I was just extremely interested in how this was put together. I was thinking of possibly doing a story on it or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is merely an extension of Mr. Barreau's testimony.
I see.
Before the House Subcommittee on Foreign Affairs.
I see.
He testified there on May 1, along with a number of POW wives.
Uh-huh.
And this is merely an extension of his testimony that he provided to the subcommittee.
I see. That's Mr. Zablocki's subcommittee?
Yes, it is correct.
I see.
I might suggest for a detailed readout on it, you might contact Congressman Zablocki and or his committee.
Uh-huh.
And they probably can give you a better readout on it and how they went about securing the display and so forth.
I see.
Because they did all of that. We didn't do any of that.
Uh-huh. What actually was the role which United We Stand played in the planning of the exhibit? Because it was excellent. I was just wondering who gets the credit.
Well, I think, first of all, we're not looking for credits as such. We're just trying to help in an overall problem. And Mr. Perot felt that this would be a very vivid extension of his testimony.
I see.
And provided it for the committee.
Uh-huh. Could you tell me
the information as to how the cells were designed and so forth?
Uh-huh.
All of this came from actual conversations and descriptions from men who have been there, who have been released by the North Vietnamese or who have escaped from the Viet Cong.
I see. That's very interesting. I was wondering, could you tell me what United We Stand actually does besides this kind of thing? I'd never heard of the organization before, and it seems to be doing some excellent work.
Well, I'm a bit surprised that you have never heard of the organization, because we have, on two occasions, made trips to Southeast Asia in trying to gain the relief for or release of these prisoners.
I see.
And there has been a great amount of time and space devoted to our efforts.
I see.
Our prime thesis is to get the release of the prisoners.
I see.
We are a non-political, non-partisan, non-profit corporation, not a foundation. The dollars that Mr. Perot has spent are dollars on which taxes have already been paid.
I see.
And he has no special tax privileges involved in any of these monies, and they're sizable that he has devoted to this.
Sure, that's really a wonderful thing that he's doing. We could certainly use more wealthy people who use their money in such a good way.
Mm-hmm.
This is very interesting.
I might suggest, Mr. Greenfield, if you are interested in doing something follow-up, I would contact the committee if it pertains to the displays there.
Okay.
If you would like more information about United We Stand, if you would drop us a letter with your return address on it, we would be happy to provide you with all the information we have about our organization.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're quite welcome, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Wadewan is calling you from France on a collect call. Would you like to pay for that?
Yes,
call?
I will, please.
Thank you. Just one minute.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, is this Mr. Martin Murphy?
Yes, it is.
How do you do? It's Pierre Ratton here.
Yes, how are you, sir?
Fine, and you?
Very good, thank you.
I called you because I called Airfall. And they have a mention of the prepaid tickets.
They have it?
No. They don't have this prepaid ticket. So they want me to ask you if you paid it to the Air France in Dallas, or did you pay to another company?
All right, just a moment, please. Hold on while I check with my secretary, and I'll get the details for you.
Yes, sir?
Call Jim Sanders rather quickly over at Trademark Travel and
yes.
Tell him that the man does not have the ticket in France, and where is it, and how can we get word to him?
Okay.
Thank you. We're calling on the other line now, Pierre, to check with the firm. It was supposed that they were to call you today, Friday, and tell you that they might save you a trip to the airport and that you could pick it up in downtown Paris. That was the last information I had from the agency. And it's a travel agency that we do business with.
Oh, because all prepaid tickets are centralized in the Invalid, the central office of Invalid in the center of Paris, in town.
Right.
And well, so I asked them yesterday and to today, and they told me if you didn't pay this ticket to the Air France, they want to know if it's to the Air France agency or to another company. you know, which transferred it to Air France.
The only thing I know is that the ticket was ordered as I described to you, and it calls for your flight on Air France, leaving at 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Flight number 15.
Flight number 15, and it arrives in JFK at 12:15.
Well, it's 13 because it's summertime in New York.
I beg your pardon?
It's 1300 because it's summertime in New York. I mean, they told me that it wasn't 12:15, but 13:15.
Oh, 13:15.
Yes.
Well, according to my information, it was 12:15.
Oh.
That would still be fine. You would still have plenty of time then to make the Braniff flight at 4 p.m. and arrive here at 6:25.
Sure, because all is fixed up on only this question of tickets.
Yes. Now, we're trying to find out on the other line. My secretary is now talking with the travel agency.
Oh.
How is your weather there?
Well, my weather is... I am not in Paris, you know. I am in our little house in the center of France, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I took one day of rest.
Wonderful.
And we have wonderful weather. It's summer. Is it warm in Texas?
It's very warm at the present time, yes.
That's why I took very, very light suit.
I think that was very wise because it is extremely warm here at the present time. Although today has been, some 12 degrees cooler.
Oh, well.
And perhaps that will carry over through tomorrow, and it will be nice when you're here.
Yes.
We're looking forward to your arrival a great deal.
I'm happy to come back to the States and to see you there.
Well, we look forward to it very much. Just a moment, let me check with my secretary to see what she has found. Hold on, please.
Mr. Martin?
What's he saying?
Mr. Sanders said that it was sent. They called this morning and said that it should have been sent last night, and they said it was sent.
Hurry, please.
Okay.
Thank you. Hello, Mr. Rataran?
Yes?
The ticket was sent yesterday.
Yes?
It should have been there no longer than 8 hours after it was sent. My man is now checking for a name and a telephone number with whom you can check in Paris to make sure that they have it there for you.
Yes.
If you will hold on just a second, I will have it for you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
As soon as you get it, bring it in.
All right.
Thank you. It'll be just a moment.
Yes.
Have you heard anything further from Mr. Carr?
It's my Greyhound. I have a Greyhound, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Barkley.
Have you talked any more with Mr. Carr?
No. The only time I got in is... The night before last night, and it's all, you know.
Right.
I'll give you some details very interesting about him.
Very good. I'm anxious to hear them when you arrive here. I'm glad that you're getting some rest before you leave. I'm sure that you enjoy that, too.
Yeah, sure. Well, and, you know, I am in here in family with my whole family, and it's very nice to have one day rest.
That's wonderful. What size family do you have, sir?
Well, I have my wife and two kids, a daughter of 15 years old and a son of 9 years old.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
And a friend, and the family of a friend. So it's very, very nice to have all the people around.
Well, that's good. Hold on just a moment and let me get this address for you.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
What line is Sanders on?
He's on 4, but he put another lady on, and she's gone to found it, and she put me on hold, so I'm on hold on 4.
Oh, boy.
But she said, another lady came on, and she said the ticket should be there, and if it's not there now, it should be there within the next minutes. Is he at the counter?
No. He's in Harris, and he called out to Hawleyfield, and they know nothing whatsoever about it.
I see. Well, okay.
Okay.
Hello?
That's me.
Okay.
At $4 a minute, we're holding.
Right.
I could buy a popsicle for that.
Yes.
It's very frightful.
When is his plane supposed to leave, Mr. Martin?
It leaves in about 12 hours from now.
I see.
No, a little longer than that, about 15 hours.
Okay.
It leaves at 5 a.m. tomorrow, our time.
Air France, they have a dozen different people there, and she doesn't have a name to give you, but he can contact the prepaid desk.
The prepaid?
He contacted the prepaid desk, and they say they know nothing whatsoever about
it.
Ma'am.
It was sent this morning. Is this Mr. Murphy? Mark?
Yes, it was sent this morning.
This morning, yes, sir. There,
why didn't it go out yesterday?
Well, we sent it out and we came up with a cheaper fare for you, which saved you about $45.
Well, if it went out yesterday, they should have some knowledge about that too, should they not?
Well,
my point is, they say they have no record about it. Now, this goes to the prepaid desk at Air France at Hawleyfield.
Yes, sir. Now, if he will contact the prepaid desk.
That's who he was talking to about 30 minutes ago.
Said it should be there by now or within a few minutes anyway.
Okay.
It's definitely there for him, Mr. Martin.
Very good. Thank you.
All right, sir, and I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Roderon?
Yes?
If you will contact the prepaid desk at Air France, the ticket will be there. It is there now at the prepaid desk, Air France, Hawleyfield.
I contact the prepaid desk, and they don't have about, 1/2 hour before. So I will try again, huh?
Try again, because it should be there. I would wait. What time do you have now? 6 okay. o'clock?
Oh, it's 6 p.m.
All right, don't worry about it. It will be there, because it has already gone from here to the prepaid desk at Air France.
Fine. So, you know, I think it's only a question of time.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure that there is no problem because it...
I wonder if we don't have some trouble to get to the plane tomorrow morning. I mean...
Oh, you will have no problem at all.
It's a question of the schedule, you know?
Right, there's no problem at all. Just proceed as scheduled because the ticket is there.
Okay.
And I'm sure they will find it. If you will wait a while, wait an hour or so and call them, probably it's just buried in some paperwork or something.
Fine. I will do it.
Very good, and we look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Tomorrow at 6:25. I am very glad that you come to the airport, so I will speak to you about all the program and how we will present to the other people.
Wonderful. I look forward to that.
Okay.
Have a good flight.
Bye, Mr. Martin. Thank you.
Bye now.
Tomorrow.
What they call Hanoi's inhumane treatment of U.S. war prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
A letter initiated by Indiana Democrat Birch Bayh. Is that right?
Birch Bayh.
And it says Birch here. I know that's wrong. It's Birch Bayh.
Right.
And Saigon, 3 South Vietnamese University students described to newsmen their recent...
Mm-hmm.
They said conditions are much worse than the government has admitted. Meanwhile, the two regime launched an investigation into the matter.
Mm-hmm.
That is it.
Hmm. Very good. What would you want, Don? Why don't you just ask your questions and I'll...
Okay, fine.
Okay.
We'll do kind of a Q&A type.
Okay.
Then. Okay. Since United We Stand has concerned themselves quite a bit with the prisoner of war issue, what kind of reaction would you have to the story?
Don, I think, first of all, it's very encouraging that 86 of the 100 senators can agree on this and have. It's somewhat disappointing that it doesn't have the names of 100 senators. I would think that there is no senator in the United States, in Washington, that would disagree with calling upon Hanoi for better treatment for U.S. men being held in Southeast Asia. But it is encouraging. I only hope that Hanoi is responsive to what is contained therein, signed by the 86 senators.
Do you think it's significant now that the Senate has jumped in? Do you think something can be done about the prisoner of war issue?
Well, I think any time anybody jumps in, it is significant because it has always been the feeling of United We Stand that Hanoi is extremely sensitive to world opinion. I think they would be even more sensitive to the thinking, particularly when you have 86 of 100 senators, the thinking of those men because of who those men are.
Do you think United We Stand will now do anything further with the reaction from the senators?
Well, we have not been aware of this move on the part of the senators, but we have never let up. We have been continuously working. We will continue to work for the release of these men being held. There are now nearly 1,600 men missing or prisoners of war in Southeast Asia, and Mr. Perot has said many, many times, and he still says, that we will continue our efforts until each of these men has been accounted for, and we intend to do just that.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Murphy. We'll see you.
Thank you. Read out or as to why maybe the senator...
I'm sure he would sign. That sounds like him not making a decision or... when did that come out?
Well, the bulletin moved just a little while ago, and it was quoting Senator Birch Bayh.
Quoting Bayh?
Uh-huh.
Well, let me call him right now and ask him.
Okay. And would you give me a buzz back?
Yeah.
Because it'd save everybody some headaches if it is. I'd hate to see, you know, the thing go out without his name on it, and I know he would, too.
Can you get his name on there?
Huh?
Can you?
Well, I'm sure they can't. No, we can't. They can't in Washington, but y'all can correct that. See, y'all got those ties.
Yeah.
I just wanted you to be aware of it.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, Murphy. I really do. I'll see about it right now. Listen, if you get a chance to talk to Ross, I talked to, what's his name, go to the Naval Academy, is up there, his right-hand man.
Mitch Hart.
Yeah, Mitch Hart.
Right.
About this thing, and I'm going to call him back Monday.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to talk to him, but I think it'd be a good thing. President Johnson's coming down for the thing. I don't know whether Ross could make it.
When is he going to be held?
If he could, we'd introduce him at the Astor World Hotel Ballroom Wednesday night.
The 15th,
right.
Right.
We'd introduce him, and, you know, as a man who's working so hard for the...
Right.
To do something about our prisoners of war over there.
Right.
And Ben Barnes going to be there. It's going to be a pretty gala affair.
Very good.
Of course, it's Democratic, and I know Ross kind of stays out of the party part of it, but...
I'll talk to him about it.
Incidentally, Senator Yarber is just crazy about him. He said that's the only businessman that I've ever felt like I really had a rapport with.
Well, that's good.
They had a meeting, I don't know whether you know it, back in April.
Yes,
but,
they did.
But see if you can pin it down, because Wednesday's coming fast.
Very good.
And
then my number, if you'll call me back, I'd like to hear from you. My number here is 357.
I have it right here.
You've got it?
Call you right back.
Very good. Thank you, Benton. Bye.
It's over, or I didn't record in the first place.
Shoot again. I'm ready.
Okay, fine. I kind of hate to take your time.
That's quite all right.
Okay. What reaction would United We Stand have to the action of the Senate this afternoon?
Well, first of all, we're pleased, of course, that 86 men in the United States Senate would take time, as many other people in this country have not taken the time, to voice their opinion opposing the inhumane treatment that Hanoi has been administering to the men they hold there. This is encouraging. At the same time, I think we must, in all reality, mention that it is a bit disappointing that all 100 senators have not signed. I cannot think of a single reason a U.S. senator would not sign something calling for humane treatment for U.S. servicemen. I can only hope that the reason the 14 other names are not on there is because perhaps it was an oversight, or they did not thoroughly understand, and perhaps they too will come forward rather quickly and add their names to the 86 that have already signed it.
Are you in hopes that the action from the Senate may bring similar action from the House and the other top governmental officials?
I have no reason to believe it will, but that certainly would be encouraging also. Any time that I think anybody in this country, particularly an elected official, publicly states their feelings regarding Hanoi's inhumane treatment, this makes a mark on the thinking of Hanoi, because they are extremely sensitive to public opinion, and I think they would be even more sensitive to high-ranking U.S. public officials who voice such statements as contained in this particular document.
Do you feel that U.S. pressure on South Vietnamese officials to change prison tactics like that is unwarranted? Do you feel that we should control their prison camps?
Well, you've asked about three questions there in one. Regarding inhumane treatment, alleged inhumane treatment in South Vietnam compounds, I think one thing has been overlooked, first of all, the fact that these are not prisoner of war facilities. They are criminal facilities, such as in the state of Texas you would find at Huntsville, such as elsewhere you would find in the United States. There are the state or federal penal institutions. But to your original thinking, we at United We Stand do not condone inhumane treatment toward any human being anywhere in the world, be it in any country in the world. And if these allegations are true, we would hope that South Vietnam would move very quickly to correct them, to close these tiger pits if they exist, and to make sure that all people, whether north or south of the DMZ, receive humane treatment. We would only hope that our men in the north were being given as much consideration and as much press coverage as these alleged tiger pits are getting in South Vietnam.
Okay, thank you very much, Murphy. When are you coming back to see us?
Oh, soon, I hope.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Don.
We'll see you.
Bye.